You and I back together midweek Wednesday, July 14th, 2021, right here on Connecticut Today. Our monthly check-in in the 4 o'clock hour featured Chris Powell, former managing editor, current columnist at the Journal Inquirer of Manchester. Chris talking recently about the difficulty that the General Assembly has in dealing with juvenile crime in the state. Judd Dunning in the 3 o'clock hour. Judd, a YouTube star, conservative blogger, West Coast radio host, real estate magnate, all of that, author too, talking about the continued effect that former President Donald Trump is having on the Republican Party. And I also had some thoughts about violence. Violence in Connecticut cities, violence in big liberal cities all across the country. And the one thing that leaders never seem to bring up, they never talk about this one thing to really make cities safer. I have to laugh, and I know this is no laughing matter, but you know, you heard on the news there, Governor Cuomo in New York, and hello to all the people listening to me on Long Island, Westchester County, and on the edge of the city there. You know, Governor Cuomo, like so many of these big city and blue state and blue city Democrats, well, we're gonna have a three prong problem. A three-prong solution here. And he talks about this program and that program for gun violence. And okay, I get that. Get the problem earlier before later. I don't think anybody with a decent mind can argue that that's not what you would call a smart thing to do, right? Listen. Yeah, you want to intercept the bad influences on these kids when they're smaller and tell them, hey, we caught you this time, or this is the second or third time you've been caught. You know, we got you in Bridgeport, we caught you in New Haven, we caught you in Hartford, whatever. Okay, what's going on here? What is the problem? Are there problems at home? Why are you running with this group? You know this is going to be bad. You know, this, that, and the other. But what you never, ever, 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 maybe that's a little much, but what you rarely, how about that, rarely, rarely, rarely see or hear from any of these people in these blue states and blue cities, what do you rarely hear? You never hear the threat of increased jail time. And even the police in people like New York and in Chicago. How many people were shot in Chicago over this past weekend? It's insane. And what do the cops say in the big cities? Hey, we can find these people. Give us some time. We know the areas. We know people who won't talk. We know people who will talk. And they bring them in. And what happens? They get sent out on the street. And when they do become incarcerated, they a lot of them, not all, but a lot of them become repeat offenders. A lot of them become repeat offenders. And what you never hear in these initiatives to cut down on gun violence is you never hear of an initiative and say, hey, we're going to send people. If you commit a crime with a gun, now you would have gotten 10 to 15 years. We're going to give you 15 to 20. Well, that's horrible, Paul. Well, you know what? Maybe. But what else? When you couple all these possible programs, You can try all the intervention programs you want. That's great. Nobody is saying, I'm not sitting here saying, don't do that. There's nothing wrong with intervention. There's nothing wrong. When you hear stories replete in society, in the arts world, music, sports, and yeah, I was a bad kid growing up. You know, I got arrested how many times before somebody finally straightened me out? I mean, Eric Adams, the guy that's likely going to be the next mayor of New York, he was arrested, beaten up by a cop, he said, as a kid, so he became a cop. That doesn't always turn out that way. But my point is, look at how many times some of these people, not all, but look at how many times some of these people have been arrested, repeat offenders. I'm sorry, you have to come down harder on these people. It's common sense. If you know this repeat offender has been arrested over and over and over again, there's got to be a point in your thinking process. There has to. whether you're a judge, whether you're a probation person, a parole person, whatever, there's got to be a point in your thinking process where you say, you know what, this is the seventh or eighth time he's got to go, he or she, they got to go away for a long time. Because this is, you know, the first six or seven times were bad enough. This is going to be even worse. You just know it. It's statistics. It's odds with a lot of these repeat offenders. But I'm waiting to hear, honestly, I'm not saying this just in a rhetorical sense here. I'm waiting to hear of some big city governor in a blue city or a blue state to say, hey, enough is enough. Yes, I'm all for second or third chances on minor violations, but if these people are going to be repeat offenders, they must be taken away and isolated from society for the good of society. See, because we never hear that. It's always, well, you know, mass incarceration. Okay, that's a buzzword thrown around. Okay. Yes, I know there are questionable prosecutions. I get that. I understand that. Yes, I know that some people can only have a public defender while other people can afford $1,000 an hour lawyers. I understand that, too. But one of those boogeyman words or phrases that's always thrown out there when you want to get into a hard and fast discussion about what are we doing with our prisons and are we incarcerating the right thing or the right people, you always hear this, well, you know, if you're going to talk about mass incarceration and you want to go back to mass incarceration. No. What I would like to see is personally, me talking to you at 5:14 here on Wednesday, July 14th, I would like to see really bad people kept in jail longer. Because you can guess, and I'm sure there would be qualified criminal justice people who I could get on this show, and I would ask them, what are the chances that a person with this many felony convictions or high-ranking misdemeanor convictions will then reoffend? They know this. They know. There are numbers. So don't fall for the mass incarceration trap. You know, again, this is the kind of thing that because we screwed up before, now we can't go back to a policy that, you know, did have some merits. Well, you know, it's not a question of mass incarceration. No, maybe it's not. What it is a question of is keeping people off of the street and away from society that should be kept off of the street and away from society. Does that mean you do it with everybody? No. But you pick and choose your spots and you say, hey, this guy, this gal, that, they're bad. Okay, we can't take the chance again. We gave them six or seven chances. Look at these felony convictions. So we've got to drop the hammer here. But again, if you drop the hammer on some people, you're immediately racist. You're a white supremacist. You're feeding the prison industrial complex. Yada, 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 yada. I have an idea. How about feeding public safety? How about feeding neighborhoods who just want to have racial harmony and who want to allow their good, hardworking people of all classes to live, geez, I don't know, without fear? How about that? That's radical, I know. What can I tell you? First, I want to talk about something that we actually talked about yesterday here on the show, trying to figure out still what happened in New Britain a few weeks back when a 53-year-old man who was just out for a jog was hit and killed by a juvenile offender, apparently a career offender, even though he was only 17 years old. Multiple arrests. Mike Lawler on the show yesterday came out and said somebody screwed up somewhere because a kid with this many arrests should not have been on the street. And that's what a lot of people think. And tackling that in one of his recent columns, our buddy, our pal, who we have on here once a month to check in, Chris Powell, Manchester Journal Inquirer. Hey, Chris, it's Paul again. Thank you, sir. How are you?
Oh, great to be with you, Paul.
Chris, I had Mike Lawler on yesterday, former East Haven State legislator, current UNH professor, and of course he was the point man for a lot of criminal justice stuff that Governor Malloy did. And I asked him what his reaction was, and he said pretty much, somebody screwed up big time, somebody is misreading a statute, of course the cops, of course the judge should have known how bad this kid turned out to be. But Chris, just the notion that 13 arrests in the matter of a couple of months, and he was on the street. I mean,
it was actually 3.5 years.
I'm sorry.
But some of the charges were indeed very serious.
Yeah, so you wonder, I mean, how does this happen, Chris? I mean, how does this happen?
Well, it happens, I think, in large part because everything involving juvenile court is secret, and because Connecticut's public policy long has been to try to avoid punishing juveniles for anything they do. I'm glad that Mike Lawler admits that there was a screw-up here, but there's a lot of screw-ups with juvenile justice. If you were listening the other day to the police chief in New Britain, Chris Shute, he said that there are 9 juveniles in New Britain alone are the city's worst offenders, having been arrested an average of 18 times between the ages of 12 and 17. The chief said one has been arrested 25 times on charges that include assault on an officer. Another, he said, has been arrested 40 times since he was 12 on charges including assaulting officers and armed robbery and stuff like that. These kids are still not considered incorrigible and not, you know, put in long-term detention because Connecticut just doesn't have the self-respect to defend itself against juveniles who have become incorrigible. It's a terrible situation. We don't like to acknowledge it, but that's the way it is. So what do? We tell them, as the chief said, that, look, we're not going to punish you no matter what they do. Mm-hmm. And they realize, oh, okay, I've got carte blanche here. I can keep stealing cars and joyriding. I can even keep beating the people up or robbing her or whatever. They will not punish us. And I think Lawl is a little disingenuous here in saying that somebody screwed up, because there's a lot of cases like this where you have incorrigible kids and incorrigible adults, and we won't put them in prison. The governor, the Democrats are boasting about the steady decline in the state's prison population, the closing of prisons. But if you look very closely in the criminal justice news, not just the juvenile cases, but the adult cases, you often find people being arrested for serious crimes, and they've got criminal records involving 10, 20, even 30 convictions. Why are they out? Because, we think it's great to reduce the prison population and close prisons and, just send the criminals out to prey on people.
Chris, bad people deserve to be in jail. And I know we get caught up in this, well, second chance, third chance, fourth chance. Okay, I think, Chris, you and I can agree that if a kid gets arrested a couple of times, what'd you do? Well, I stole a couple of book bags, or I stole this or that. Okay, you don't put him or her in with hardened criminals. You try to do something early. What's going on? Is it tough at home? Are there drugs involved with mom and dad? Is dad even around? But yeah, Chris, you get to a point where you get these multiple arrests and you say, morals be damned here, at least for a little bit. Bad people, Chris, need to be taken off the streets. I mean, to me, and I'm no criminologist, far from it, that's issue one, as the great John McLaughlin would have said back in the day, to keeping people safe.
Yeah, well, I don't think anybody's proposing the life terms for a single shoplifting conviction for a 14-year-old. What I'm talking about simply is an incorrigibility law. Maybe not 3 strikes, but I've seen enough cases, including the juvenile cases cited recently, where even a 10 or 20 or 30 strikes law here in Connecticut would be progress. So Mike Lawl is a decent guy, and he's right that somebody screwed up here. But this screw up in the New Britain case is not an aberration. Mm-hmm. It's a regular event, and we have to look at this. But unfortunately, it's illegal to look at it because juvenile court is secret in Connecticut. The proceedings of the Department of Children and Families, social workers dealing with disturbed kids. All that is secret, too. So you want to know who screwed up here? You can't find out. Yeah. Who's the judge that, you know, let them out? Who's the social workers who failed with the kid? You can't find out. It's illegal to know. And until we repeal secrecy for juvenile court, and until we repeal confidentiality for DCF, you're never going to find out what's wrong.
Chris, hang on. Chris Powell, the guest from the Journal Inquirer of Manchester, back with more from Chris. First, traffic and weather together right here on WICC. Chris Powell checking in from the Manchester Journal Inquirer, J.I. of Manchester, for his monthly check-in. We'd like to get Chris's unfiltered opinions on stuff. His column from a couple of days ago, Democrats strive to conceal the failures of Connecticut's juvenile justice system. Everybody talking about this because of what happened in New Britain a few weeks ago. And Chris, you know, in the wake of that, I've talked to legislators, and you saw Speaker Ritter quoted in places saying, well, one of the problems is, well, depending upon when these arrests are made and when the police contact the judge, well, sometimes, you know, the judge takes too long. They can't get a look at the accused's previous record. Now, Chris, we landed men on the moon beginning 52 years ago. How is it that the excuse can be made that, well, the information isn't available to judges or police? I don't get that.
Well, the speaker was talking about cases where the kid gets arrested in the middle of the night, mm-hmm. and they need to roust a judge, and, you know, he may not be in the office, or they simply may not have a computer connection that works for the judge, though I think in most cases they do. I don't think that's really the problem at all. You don't get to 13 arrests in 3.5 years.
Yeah.
Without somebody behind the bench in court knowing that you've got a long record. The police eventually are going to tell the judge if the judge doesn't see it himself. I think the speaker was just trying to camouflage the real problem here is that we have a lot of incorrigible kids, just as we have a lot of incorrigible adults. The social disintegration in Connecticut is gathering pace. Kids don't have parents, probably only... You know, say only 55% of the kids in Connecticut are growing up in a home with a father, and this is getting worse and worse. I mean, look, Daniel Patrick Moynihan, the social scientist and mm-hmm. U.S. senator, addressed this in his report on the Black Family back in 1965, which, you know, good God, what's that, 55 years ago? Kids need parents, but Connecticut's policy under Democratic administration is that, you know, every kid should have a special education teacher, his own therapist, his own social worker, his own police officer, his own probation officer, but no parents. And, you know, this is the society we're ending up with.
So what do you think, Chris, I mean, the General Assembly is actually going to do? I know that may be a rhetorical question, but it seemed to be, and you probably saw this quiz, this quote last week, when both sides were saying, hey, okay, maybe we have to look at a few things. You know, you had a guy like, you know, Marty Looney, of course, you saw him playing the race card right away. Oh, all of a sudden, Republicans care about crime. I mean, Chris, it's stuff you see like that. I throw my hands up in the air. It's like, come on, you got to go there with that. Talk about a hack quote when I saw that.
Well, Looney is a demagogue, and, you know, he was trying to distract from the issue here. He was complaining, oh, Republicans tried to overthrow the government in Washington with the riot at the Capitol. And, okay, you know, fine, let's stipulate that. Now, what are we going to do about the New Britain case, Senator? He had nothing to say about that. We have a lot of disturbed kids in Connecticut. We have a lot of incorrigible kids in Connecticut. Our welfare system deprives thousands and thousands of kids of fathers. Our education system with its social promotion deprives kids of education. Senator Looney supports these policies. He's the instigator of these policies. Of course, he wants to distract from the problem. I don't think the Republicans are serious about it either, because it's a terribly ugly problem, and any serious measures, any effective measures, would be very controversial. But all the Republicans really wanted to do was, you know, timidly talk about it. And, you know, so Looney says, oh, you're just trying to put black kids in jail. Well, sorry, it looks to me like the kid in the New Britain case is white, and his victim was white. So, you know, can white people worry about this too?
And on that note, good stuff. Great as always. Chris Powell, Journal Inquirer of Manchester. Check out his columns. We referenced the one today from 2 days ago. Democrats strive to conceal the failures of Connecticut's juvenile justice system. Chris, grab the popcorn. This one's going to be interesting to watch. Chris, thank you. We appreciate it as always.
Thanks, Paul.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye. Chris Powell there, laying it on the line, folks. Thank you to the West Coast, L.A. area. Conservative writer, comedian, producer Judd Dunning is the guest. He has his own podcast, his own YouTube stuff. His book just came out, 13 Reasons Why Not to Be a Liberal. He's a blogger, real estate guy, radio host in California, KABC. Again, another guy who has a far better business card than I do. Judd, hi, it's Paul here in Connecticut. How are you, sir?
Well, Paul, I'm going to tuck under your greatness and say you've probably got the better business. I'm just a hack just showing up because I love America.
No. You and I, as talk show hosts, we get to call other people hacks. No. You're no hack. Judd, and I urge people to watch your stuff on YouTube. It's really good. The book is out. But you have some pronunciations about what you call the Trump paradox. What do you mean by that, Judd?
Yeah, it was a great article. Look, when we saw the rallies coming back, and, you know, Trump's already been exonerated, the left is starting to have a problem, right? And their problem is that their power to divide, destroy, and spread socialism was through Trumpism. That started to wane and wear down. And then it was racism, and that started the obvious lies in that are coming apparent. People are just tired. They don't want to hate each other. And then we have vaxism, which is going on with your governor and your area over there, just like it is in Los Angeles, these separating policies. But Trump is really not a dividing situation. The paradox of Trump is that the collectivism, he is the taproot, the spearhead of the collectivism of us all together, of an anti-collective America. And people will immediately call you a bigot, a racist, broken, a morally or intellectually inferior when you support Trump. But the truth is, we're not Trumpites. We support the fact that he's small government, that we agree to be ruled, but only lightly so. And that is the paradox of his nationalism and populism and America First platform, is that we all agree we want to come together to not be ruled collectively and be individually free.
You know, in talking about your segment coming up here, Judd, and Judd Dunning is the guest, real estate guy, author. He's on YouTube, West Coast LA radio host as well. You know, Judd, I was saying earlier, you know, when former presidents became former presidents, they were real quiet for year one. You know, year two, maybe some interviews. Year three, oh, my library is ready, and here's my new book. And then year four, hey, I'll go out and campaign for this, that, and the other. You know, Mr. Trump is certainly, whether people love him or not, he is certainly taking a sledgehammer to that so far.
Yeah, you know, I just went to CPAC in Dallas, which was great. I call it the essential echo chamber against the deconstructionist leftist ideas. Like, even though sometimes we feel like we're the smaller minority under this, you know, this purge of the Biden administration, it's, you know, a purge if they could, you know, Brooke Rawlings was there from the Trump's America First Policy Institute. They've got like 21 branches now. Larry Kudlow is in charge of the financial one. They've got these great minds, and what they're doing is they're out there attacking on the battle of ideas, which is where we have to preserve our country because we're tired from COVID. And then Trump's at the front, showing up. You know, I watched his shoulders drop when he walked off the stage, and I saw this guy go from energized to zero to relaxed, because, you know, when you're in it for the long haul, mm-hmm. you got to stay relaxed. You know, and that's another thing, we can't react and let the mainstream media and big tech attack us and grab our adrenaline and our cortisol and our norepinephrine and manipulate our brains that we're in a crisis that we can't win. We're just in a rotation of power. Now, look, SR1 is a serious, serious attack to try to keep the left in power longer, but it's so corrupt that even the left is having issues with mm-hmm. it, right? And Trump's at the front. He's doing great.
And we're talking about, obviously, that bill that would rest a lot of power on elections to the federal government. Judd Dunning is a guest. Judd, hang on, right back with you. First, traffic and weather together right here on WICC. All right, back to open phones momentarily. First, a few more minutes with a YouTube personality, blogger, radio host, a real estate guy. Judd Dunning is the guest. Name of the book is 13 and a Half Reasons Why Not to Be a Liberal and How to Enlighten Others. You know, Judd, and I talk about this with my liberal friends all the time. It's interesting that, and I feel bad, Judd, for some of them, because a true liberal, the ones I grew up with, Judd, and maybe you did as well, a true liberal invites discussion. You may disagree with them at the end, right? But a liberal invites discussion. They allow a difference of opinion. They question conservatives. They invite them into the pool of ideas. What we're seeing now, Judd, drives me crazy when you have out-and-out leftists, you know, shouting people down. And this, I think, Judd, is what feeds part of what you call the Trump paradox, is that he is the embodiment, whether people realize it or not, Judd, of the pushback against that.
Oh, absolutely. And look at the people we keep putting in office because of this. See, like Ned Lamont, your governor, the overreach that we're going through, the way they're treating your fair community of Bridgeport and everything that's going on over there in Fairfield. You know, we have the same here. We have like this counterforce of like Eric Garcetti saying that our mayor in Los Angeles, we must hunt down the 1% that doesn't comply and make them comply.
Yeah.
Snitches get riches. I mean, we've got a shame-based idea going on, because here's the deal. If the left, the real liberals, and you nailed it, they care. And you know what? Real Republicans, we care. We just care in different ways. Free market, big government, you know, they're always both going to exist. They're both huge. So you might as well be rational with your Democrat friends. But the problem is we got 6% progressives alienating 26% of the Democratic Party, and the only way to stay in control is to generate hate. Because they're not even in alignment with their own party.
Yeah.
So you have to hijack people's minds. And Trump is busting that up.
Should he run again, Judd Dunning, in 2024? He'll be in his mid-70s. I know he's a physical freak. And would it be better for him to kind of be the guy who is leading the pack, the piper up front? Or should he hand it off to, you know, somebody like a Ron DeSantis or a Tim Scott or something like that? How do you see 2024 playing out?
They did a poll at CPAC, straw poll, and it was 70% supported Trump to continue in the next election. So that was interesting, because you're in a room that should probably poll, you know, 100, right?
Yeah.
And then they did it based on DeSantis as well, and DeSantis had good numbers as well, you know, 70%. So I think Trump has the cognizance to let DeSantis roll forward if that's where the party needs to go. I think he's probably one of the few people, because he's a billionaire. He's not a career politician. He's a guy who late in life, I call it the grandfather effect. He was a secularist, pro-choice Democrat Clinton supporter who went through a conversion in the eyes of America, and he still kept fighting for us. I think he has the wherewithal if America wants somebody else to roll through to let go. I think the issue we have to find out, though, is, and I think the election was stolen, clearly. The statistics for me are irrefutable. I grew up studying statistics. That's why I got my degree in economics and statistics. And there were 30 variations that were statistically aberrant that should have never happened due to mail-in ballots and COVID. So it depends whether or not he can let go of his resentment about that situation. Mm-hmm. That's the wild card on that.
And, you know, Judd, people have called me. They say, what do you think? And I said, listen, I've been studying this for years, as you have. I said, okay, there may be some funny business going on, Judd, but I am old enough to remember Watergate, okay? And that's part of the reason I got into this business. You know, I was 10 or 11 years old. I didn't know what the hell was going on with those Watergate hearings, Judd, but I knew it was something really important. So while my friends were out, you know, playing basketball and playing football and getting girls, I was a nerd inside, you know, watching the Watergate. Watergate hearings. And to me, Judd, if there was this amount of malfeasance, you would almost need, if you're going to break that story, you almost need something like that. Don't you agree that, oh my God, this actually happened? You almost really need an earthquake of that magnitude, meaning televised hearings, Senate hearings, people willing to say, okay, I was a part of this and this is how it happened.
Yeah, but it's difficult, right? Because big tech is censoring Trump because they feel that the elections are too important for Americans to jeopardize them. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, that's the paradox. Besides the blessed place of AM radio, we've got an amazing cabal that he, put in this this new lawsuit that we have against information. We are a country of disinformation. You know, I read something the other day, and we're like lowest on the world's approved news media right now for being trustworthy. So in that world, how do we have those, like that event, and it's going to be supported? I think the fires are going to have to start. I think they're going to burn. I think it's very hard to change. America tends to go for for stability instead of honesty. Sometimes we just like hold on to stability.
Yeah, it's
so
like
I think it's going to be tough.
It's it's like you really don't want to know what happened with RFK and JFK and MLK and all that. But, you know, yeah, just take you don't want to know. You don't need to know. The book is 13 and a half reasons why not to be a liberal. The author is Judd Dunning. Check out the book. It's on Amazon. Check out his YouTube stuff. Finally, I'm always fascinated with California. Been to Frisco twice, been to L.A. once, almost took a job in San Diego. That was years ago. What's going to happen with this recall with your governor out there, with Gavin Newsom? Is he just going to roll to reelection or not?
Well, he just got slapped around. They wouldn't let him put Democrats to try to use his party to hide behind his personal deeds, right? That was a pretty big thing that we just did. Look, we are overrun with homelessness and mental illness on the streets. Our tax basis, they want to go from 11-something to 16.4 and pick up the tab. Businesses are fleeing. And, you know, my wife and I were literally laying on the bed. We're like, God, I love this state, the weather, the people. But, you know, do we want to give them a raise for running our city in the ground? Do I want to pay 5 points more? I could go buy a house, you know, in Connecticut. I could go buy a house somewhere else for that. So we are hoping to have Larry Elder on our show on Monday.
Yeah.
So we were going to get Caitlin on, then Larry ran, and so I hope he comes on. Larry would be an amazing force. Man, I'd like to see that guy win California, go into the White House. We need an awakened black male whose background is being an independent to come in there and talk some rationality to Americans. That's where my chips are now, Larry Elder.
Hey, Judd Dunning, thank you once again. The book, 13 and a half Reasons Why Not to Be a Liberal and How to Enlighten Others. Judd is, he's out there, Judd Dunning. He says what he means what he says. Check out his stuff on YouTube as well. Judd, thank you. It was great. Continue good luck. And if you're ever passing through the People's Republic of Connecticut, give me a call and we'll have you on.
Yes, comrade. Thank you.
Hey, we're the real DPRC. Don't ever forget that, Judd. Don't ever forget that. Thanks,
keep
Judd.
Keep fighting.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye. All right. Traffic and weather together. Judd Dunning, name of the book, 13 and a half Reasons. I don't know what the half is. 13 and a half Reasons Why Not to Be a Liberal. It's tongue-in-cheek, folks. Calm down. And How to Enlighten Others. Judd Dunning, D-U-N-N-I-N-G. Check him out on YouTube as well.